the biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
No argument.
The Green Bay Packers.
No argument the way it ended, but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be close to.
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
Kyle
it.
Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel.
What
that
else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Don't come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
All right, now we're getting this thing figured out. We got some women's basketball gold medal going on as we say good morning to you on a Sunday. Whether you're listening on ESPN Wisconsin, watching on YouTube, however you're consuming this show, it is great to be with you. We have so much going on, including under 5 minutes to go in France, where the U.S. women's basketball team trails the French women's national team by 2 points. Good morning to you, Kyle.
Good morning. Good morning. How are we trailing France in basketball right now?
They have slowed the game down sufficiently and have obviously it's worked to this point. I mean, this game is about to be tied at 53, as it is now tied at 53 with only 4 minutes and 35 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter.
I know, right? I mean, my goodness.
So we'll keep you updated on what's going on there. Obviously, you've heard by now or you saw by now the U.S. men's national team wins yesterday. And Kyle, you asked me if this team, how it compares to the Dream Team.
Yeah, you lived through them both, Craig.
Yeah, it's weird to say, like, oh, you lived through that. Like,
hey, you're at that age.
I know,
man.
I know. I wouldn't have even thought it that way. So, you know, this is a better team to me than the Dream Team, but Michael Jordan was at a peak that nobody on this team is at, because Anthony Edwards is coming into his peak, and the best players on this team, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry, you know, Joel Embiid theoretically is peak, but Joel Embiid's not that good of an international player at this point. You know, he's not at that level of some of these other guys. And the reason I'll say this is a better team, and give a call for those of you who have thoughts on this, 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. Timeout, by the way, on the court, 3:45 to go. U.S. women tied with France at 55. But Giannis would start on this team. Obviously, right?
Yeah, he would.
Joker would start on this team.
That's true.
Obviously. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander may or may not start on this team.
He would get playing time. Devin Booker type, right?
Right. I'm saying I think he's considered a better NBA player than Devin Booker, right? And he has a similar skill set. And so you could argue Shea Gilgeous-Alexander would be starting on this team. So you look around, like back then, there was no player that they were playing against that could make the U.S. team. I mean, it wasn't even a consideration that anyone else in the world, you know, like Tony Kukoc, I remember hanging in Atlanta during that Olympics, right? And Tony Kukoc had become a certain level player, but like the Dream Team in 92 took his heart and took his soul, and he was a great international player, probably wasn't going to be able to make the Olympic team in the U.S., right? There wasn't a player. So to me, what this team is doing, Victor Wembanyama would be on the U.S. team, maybe.
He wouldn't play like that.
He wouldn't play. but he'd make the team.
Yeah.
He'd be
because he's young and
he'd be like how AD was in his first Olympics. Remember, we just heard Matt Myron say this is the third Olympics gold medal for AD, which is pretty impressive. U.S. now leads 56-55, 3 minutes and 36 seconds to go in the gold medal game. U.S. has missed 6 free throws in the game.
Oh, they need Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese.
20 out of 26 from the line. And the U.S. is struggling on the boards, but they get a really lucky call there. So they're going to get possession up one, 3:24 to go. So I look at this team and, you know, LeBron, Steph, Durant didn't get out of the first round of the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Curry didn't even make the playoffs.
Nope.
LeBron lost in the first round. KD lost in the first round.
Yeah.
So the best players are not at their peaks, but still the depth of this team and what they had to go through, because the Dream Team was similar, right? Like, John Stockton was kind of end of his career. Larry Bird was definitely end of his career. Magic Johnson was, you know, maybe you compare him to LeBron, but certainly not in the physical condition LeBron was in. But you had Michael Jordan, who was just peak powers of Michael Jordan. So there's arguments to go both ways, but I think people tend to just want to look back and say, like, oh, that team was so much better than every other team. And you just, the field back then was so much worse that I just don't think you can compare the two when it comes to that. By the way, we are now under 3 minutes to go. A big defensive rebound for Breonna Stewart gives the U.S. Oh, they're going to call a jump ball, but the U.S. With the lead, 2:34 to go, up by 3 in the gold medal game.
Are we sure we want to do this?
What?
You know, just updating people.
Oh, I'm not giving play-by-play.
Okay, right just making sure.
Just giving people play-by-play.
Well,
updates.
Updates. So, are we watching now women's basketball go through what men's basketball went through? Was that 2004 when they got the bronze or something like that? Is this, I mean, because women, USA women used to destroy everybody. Right now, you're talking about less than 3 minutes left to go, and they are only up 3. They have less than 60 points. I mean, this team used to rout everybody, and this isn't the first game they've been challenged.
I'm saying this is the first game they've been challenged.
No, they had another game first half. They had a close first half, but they took off.
I mean, the men's games have been generally closer than the women's games.
But don't you think this is the gap getting smaller and smaller and smaller?
Absolutely, and that's the beauty of what sports is. Yeah, Jackie Young fouls out for the U.S. on a dead ball foul. So this game is going to get even more interesting in the final 2.5 minutes. But yeah, that's what you want. That's what the Olympics did, right? That's why the Dream Team existed. The Dream Team existed so that 30 years later, it would be close. And, you know, from 92 to 04, right, 32 years later, it was really close. And you could argue that when you look at roster-wise, why should that French team make it so hard for the U.S. team? And I know it was kind of a road game, and you'd think, like, gosh, it just shouldn't be that close. But, you know, it is a different style basketball, and it's players that have played together as an international team, whereas the U.S. has been together for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, and they just put them together, and they say, go out there and use your talent. And that's exactly what happened in the last two games against Serbia and against France. It just the most talented players stepped up and rose to the occasion when they needed them.
I missed all of the end. Like, so I had to read the play-by-play because I was at a wedding. And
oh, you didn't watch it?
So I was watching it on YouTube TV, as I was sitting. And then they started going down the aisle. And so many people have their phones out now because they're taking pictures.
Yeah.
And I was like, can I keep this on?
I mean.
And fortunately for me, this was in Door County in some remote area, so the signal cut out. So
you had to make that tough decision.
I didn't have to make the tough decision. But you have that tough decision coming up where you have a wedding day as
I should have been very
as
specific.
Wisconsin, Alabama?
No. This happened years ago.
Oh, I thought this was Wisconsin, Alabama coming up in a few weeks.
I think I've grown in maturity since then. But no, because I was thinking about how you were at a wedding and Ben was at that same wedding, and I know— You both are sports fanatics, and Team USA was in a close game against France. And on top of that, the Green Bay Packers had their preseason game. And it just had me reminiscing on the fact that I actually skipped a wedding back in like 2016 when I think it was 2016 when Wisconsin played Alabama and got they competed, you know, they tried. They tried their
best. Second half, they kind of got. I feel like, had they beaten LSU the year before? So there's a sense that maybe they could do it, you know, up at Lambeau.
And then
all of a sudden this one was in Dallas, right?
Yeah, it sure was down in Dallas. And I was the plus one for the wedding, and I made a decision like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to this wedding. And my brother said, yep, come on, we can go to this wedding. It's my brother's friend. And then I realized.
Wait. You were your brother's plus one?
I was my brother's plus one. I knew his friend. And so he was like, listen, Devin, just have Kyle come as your plus one and he can just come to the wedding.
No, that's not immature to me. Like, that's a reach for you to go. And if Wisconsin's playing an SEC team, that's not immature to miss that.
Yeah, kind of. The behind the scenes is that we all went to the World Cup together in 2014, and I wasn't invited, but it was like, go ahead and bring your brother.
Yeah, but so you weren't invited.
I wasn't, but we confirmed, and then all of a sudden I realized.
I mean, you were allowed to attend, but like the idea of, like, I'm saying if this was this same scenario coming up for this next Wisconsin-Alabama game.
Presented itself?
Yeah, you shouldn't go to that wedding. And by the way, if you want to go to a wedding, sure, but like no one's going to miss you at a wedding.
No,
especially when you're like a plus one of your brother. Well, like it's not like your brother's going to be mad at you. It's not like it's your girl to be mad at you. Like that's the biggest no-brainer miss a wedding that I think I've ever heard.
Well, the groom was upset because it was $70 a plate and he said you said that you were going to come, you confirmed that you were coming and you did not come.
When did you find out about the Wisconsin-Alabama game?
If more not so when I found out about the game is more so than when I realized that the start time and the wedding were at the same time and I'm like,
That has nothing to do with football. That has nothing to do with football. That has to do with you being tacky.
No, it's not tacky. I was young and immature and I'm like I hope you added
a little extra to that wedding gift that you gave.
I was like 25. I wasn't. Come on now, Craig. I was a young man. I didn't know what I was doing. And so as I was thinking about you all, I said, boy, oh boy, sometimes you make the wrong decision. I feel bad now, a decade later, as I start thinking about my own life and what I would want people to do.
You just owe him $70.
It was at the art museum, Craig. I don't think he's going to miss the $70, how much he paid for the venue at the Milwaukee Art Museum. I don't think he should be worried about $70.
In today's dollars, you owe him $150.
Probably, but I'm just saying. So that was like my rationale back then. Was like, oh, bro. You got it. This is the parents are paying for the wedding. You're at the Milwaukee Art Museum. I know this ain't cheap. You ain't gonna miss that $70. Pass the plate to somebody else. But now, 10 years later, I do feel bad.
U.S. women with a 1-point lead and the ball under 90 seconds to go in the gold medal game.
Who do you give it to? Do you give it to Asia Wilson? Or do you give it to Breonna Stewart?
I mean, Stewart and Wilson have been far and away the women who've led this team, but that was Copper who takes it to the hole, and U.S. does lead by 3 as we go under a minute to go. It is a one-possession game. France with the ball, trailing by 3, only 5 seconds to go on the shot clock. They're not going to get a good shot off here. They just have to chuck up an air ball 3. So the U.S. now has the ball with 55 seconds left, 3-point lead, and the ball.
The problem is these other countries don't have stars yet, right, in women's basketball. Where is the popular women's basketball player from the international women's basketball player who's like a guard type? Like the last international player that I can recall being good was the Liz Cambridge from like Australia, and she's ready to fight anybody and everybody at all different times.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny to think about that. We've said like the U.S. women have always had to go play professionally other places, to make a living, and that they have been the dominant country. We've been the dominant country in women's basketball for so long. So that is.
Do you think if we actually invested, like our best athletes play soccer or play some other sports, would we, in men's basketball, men's sports, you think we would dominate those other sports too, like rugby, right? Like USA, if our best athletes play rugby, we would win that just like we would dominate in football. Not even close. Not even close.
No.
Craig, come on.
Wait. And you're saying the same, and then they wouldn't, like, you're saying, like, put Tyreek Hill in and put, like, whoever.
Can you imagine Miles Garrett, TJ Watt, Rashawn Gary, JJ Watt, Tyreek Hill. Heck, I mean, who's stopping these guys? These guys are literally 6'4", 250 pounds, 60 pounds, and run 4.6, 4.5, 4.40.
And those countries don't have the equivalent of those guys?
No. You think Fiji's beating? You think Fiji's running up against Miles Garrett? You think Fiji's doing something against Rashawn Gary? Heck no. Heck, if we put our best college athletes on the field in rugby, we would destroy those guys. Come on. If you put the All-American football, college football roster, you say, hey, you guys are the All-American this year. We're going to teach you rugby for the next 4 months. I guarantee you that team would do better than the U.S. team now in rugby.
All right. Well, we got a busy day today. There's so much going on. The Brewers enter game 3 of a 10-game homestand. It has started out hot as the Brewers, who did not win a home series in the month of July, have already clinched a series victory over the Reds. You got State Fair still going on. I think you're planning to head out there.
Yeah.
Packers preseason got going. We'll talk to Jason Wilde in 15 minutes. So a whole lot going on. The U.S. has turned the ball over. France has the ball. One possession game, 40 seconds to go. Gold medal game. We'll talk about it with you as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. I've had my shelf and kicked in my bed, but I've come through. I need to go on.
We are the champions, my friends. And we well, Kelsey Plum's two free throws. Ice it for the U.S., or maybe not. France cuts it to 1 with 5 seconds to go. U.S. gets the ball inbounds, and
I'm already playing the championship.
There's still some free throws. This thing is not over yet. It is a 65-64 game, and I want to know what you think. Like, what do you view as winning the Olympics? Is it about the medals or is it about the gold medals?
It's about a combination of both, because we need this in order to tie China for the gold medal count.
Right. So China's got 40 gold medals. The U.S. has 39. Japan is third with 20. So it is clearly a two-country race here.
Per capita, right, they have 1 billion people in China, and we only have 300 million here in America. That's why this is...
Well, there's a lot of other countries then that might be ahead of us. And you're going to go per capita now.
No, because we are the champion. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Woo! Oh, my God.
But her foot was in the...
Was this Kevin Durant?
She was inside the line,
so,
though.
So the U.S. Copper hits both free throws. France throws up a prayer at the buzzer, but it was a two-pointer.
She's inside the line.
And the U.S. is going to win. They have not officially ruled this. But the U.S. is going to win 67-66. It was not even close. There was not a foul either. Breonna Stewart had a hand in her face. But it was a bank two-pointer at the buzzer. And the United States has won their 71st consecutive Olympic game and has won every gold medal going back to 1984?
They thought they had a chance, Craig. They thought they had a chance.
They
did. America, baby. Both of their teams you put out.
8 straight gold medals. So how far does that go back? 8 straight gold medals?
8 times 4 is 32.
Yeah, so that goes back to the 90...
92 Olympics?
92, or does it count twice? Is it 96?
I'm a comm major.
So, they lost in 88, I believe. I believe they won 84, lost 88.
Is that before they allowed for
pros?
Yeah. Well, I guess the WNBA didn't start until what, like the mid-90s? Early mid-90s?
93.
Okay, yeah. Early 90s. Then.
So congratulations to France for putting up just an incredible effort, but it wasn't as close as KD's little toe on the line against the Milwaukee Bucks, but reminiscent of that moment, France is not. Well, and in that case, that game went to overtime, remember, because Kevin Durant's foot was on the line. The Bucks would have lost game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. In this case, France had a shot that could have forced overtime but instead the foot was well across the line, a two-point shot, and the U.S. women's national team picks up the 40th gold medal for the United States, putting the U.S. and China in a tie with 40 gold medals. Now, are you saying that we have more than double the population of Japan, or less than double?
Japan's population has to be like, they have to have 200 some million people, don't they?
Let's see.
On that island.
Population by country. All right. So U.S. has 345 million. Japan has 125.
Ooh.
So they are well ahead of us if you're going to try to play that game. So,
Craig, why can't you just be, why can't you love America like me? Let's just listen. We ain't got to bring Japan into this. It's us and China.
Right. So we're now tied at 40.
Oh, gosh.
And there's still volleyball left. There's still gold medals to be had today.
Oh, is China playing the volleyball championship game?
No. Oh, but the U.S. is.
Oh, there it is. We got first place, Craig.
Yeah. So let's just see what medals have not been given out today. I'm trying to see here. Or is volleyball? Volleyball didn't happen. Oh, this is all basketball I'm looking at here. I thought this was all sports. All right, let's see. Beach volleyball.
Is it men's or women's?
Oh, there's no results. Because it's regular volleyball, not beach volleyball.
Oh, regular volleyball. Right. And men, I know our men got third. The women.
Oh, women's got smoked in the gold medal match by Italy. 3-0.
Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? That's what I'm so confused about. How do we lose? How do we lose in these sports that we dominate?
So it is 40-40. I don't see any more medals to be given.
Well, I guess we tied them in gold, but we destroyed them in all medal count. So we won. We won. We're the champions, Craig.
Just overall, 125 medals for the U.S., 91 for China, 65 for Great Britain, and France with a great showing of 63 medals for the home country, more than doubling their country. The U.S. women, really great moment there, shaking hands with all the U.S. men's players who were there to watch them and support them today, which is pretty cool. And Milwaukee and Wisconsin's own Zora Stevenson there doing the sideline reporting as she did first half of the Olympics at gymnastics, and then she bounced over to the basketball, both men's and women's. So cool opportunity for Zora, who you hear on these airwaves and on 101.7 The Truth in Milwaukee. So we have a lot to get into, but the Green Bay Packers, I believe they played some football against another team. We will hear about that from Jason Wilde. He joins us as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Got a girl from the south side, got brazen hair. First time I seen her walk by, and I about fell up on my chair. Had to get her number. It's been like 6 weeks.
Now me and her. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
We welcome in Jason Wilde as the United States women eke out a one-point win over France. Kyle, I didn't mention Brittany Griner, which I feel like you have to mention, right? I mean, she was in a Russian prison, had no idea if she was going to get out. I mean, think about what the emotions must have been through this entire process for her and now winning a gold medal. Jason, you're always there for the story. Good morning, Jason.
Disappointed. I've been writing my Grant Dubose story, and I just got the alert from my ESPN app that they had won. I totally forgot that game was going on. Now I'm mad that I didn't even get to watch it.
Oh, yeah. It was I don't even know who that is. Who is that?
A guy out of University of Charlotte, right?
Yeah, he's a great – I mean, he is an unbelievable story. You know I love the story, as you just mentioned. He started out at a Division II school, which then had its season canceled by COVID in 2020. So he was working odd jobs out of football. He was like delivering Walmart groceries to your car when you do the pickup. He was moving vehicles around on a Hyundai dealership lot. He was doing DoorDash. And then he had a buddy that he had gone to high school with who had transferred to Charlotte, convinced him to join him there, and ended up obviously having a really good final season in 2022, got drafted by the Packers in the seventh round. Then, as a back injury, misses all of the offseason, most of training camp, gets cut, comes back on the practice squad, spends the whole year on the practice squad where guys can get elevated on game day.
Wait, now, Jason, one time he got, as this went happened last year and stuff, like, did you know him? Like, were you, like, watching him? Uh-huh. Was there any buzz?
So here, the funny thing is that after he got drafted, I and Wes Hodkowitz from Packers.com stood and talked to him, I mean, forever, like for like 15 minutes, which in an interview in the locker room is a really long time. And he had told us his whole story. And then he ends up having this back issue, so he never does anything. So I never wrote about him. But I had heard, he had told us all about his background. And so he kind of knew me. Then throughout the season, he would see me because I was really one of only two people that had really talked to him before he went on the shelf. And so this summer, I had gone and talked to him earlier in camp because he was having a strong start to camp. And then obviously yesterday, he leads them in targets, leads them in catches, leads them in receiving yards, has this great kind of revelatory performance. And Jordan Love gets up there after the game and says, I'm not surprised at all. He's been doing it all camp, which is true. But if you haven't been going to practice every day like me, which most people aren't, you had no idea who this 86 guy was, case in point right now. And he is having a fantastic camp. And I think if they're going to, you know, I don't know how many they're going to keep. We know who the top four are, right? It's Wicks, Reed, Watson, and Dobbs. But after that, there are some pretty darn good wide receivers, and he might be the best of the bunch.
So Malik Heath is not automatically part of that group?
I think he probably is because of what he does on special teams and because of the kind of blocker he is. But DuBose is no slouch as a blocker either. And I know Bo Melton had a rough day yesterday, but I definitely wouldn't write him off either. I mean, I had actually talked to all those guys last week. Melton, Heath, DuBose, Samari Toure. I mean, they've got some guys. And again, this is probably a little bit of bias because I see them every day. But they've got some guys that are in the 5 through 8 category of the wide receiver depth chart that on some other teams, including some other Packers teams I've covered, that would be more in the 3, 4, 5 range, but they've just got so much young talent. I mean, you know, you saw what Wicks did yesterday with his one play, and he's been kind of running as the fourth guy in that group in the top echelon. So there's a heck of a lot of talent there.
That's where it's kind of interesting to me because I know you and Tausch have both pegged Romeo Dobbs to have this massive breakout year this year, but how does that happen when you have like 6 players who are that good? Or are you saying it's more likely to happen because you can't put that much attention on any one single guy because of this depth?
Well, I think, you know, if you caught that conversation, which we have talked a lot about him, because I do think he's been kind of criminally underrated. But to me, you know, him being the air quotes number one receiver, that still might only mean, you know, 65, 66 catches, maybe just eking out over 1,000 yards. Like, he's not going to be a number one like Devontae was a number one, putting up 1,500 yards and 100-some catches. I just don't think anybody is going to do that. Our buddy Rob Domofsky did a piece for ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com several weeks ago talking about how, you know, Jaden Reed, according to some scouts in the league, could be a 100-catch guy. That might be true. I don't think he's a 100-catch guy in Green Bay. Like, if all these guys stay healthy, I mean, look, the other part of this is the Watson component. Like, those guys all did what they did last season, and Watson was, for most of the year, a non-factor. So
So, Jason, is Watson necessary on this team because he is a deep threat and a big play threat?
I think he's the unicorn on this team. I always say that about him. I just there's no one like him. Not only is he big and not only does he have great height, but he is filled out. You know, Tausch loves to point out that I called him wiry after the first rookie camp practice after they drafted him. He likes to change that word to spindly, which is not what I said. But he has added strength. He has certainly done everything he can to resolve the hamstring issue. But not only is he big, and not only does he have world-class speed, but you talk to the coaches, he's the smartest guy they have. Like, he can line up absolutely everywhere. He's not like MVS, where he was just kind of purely a deep threat. And so the problem with him is, you know, and I think we might have even talked about this after family night last week, like, you're always kind of holding your breath with him. Like, he went down and left the field gingerly on family night. He had the incident during practice last week where he got hit on the interception that Evan Williams had and was clutching his knee, and it turned out he just got, you know, a bruise from Evan Williams' spike hitting him. Like, I, whether or not he can be durable enough, he has to – that's what he still has to prove. But you put him in the mix for 14, 15, 16, 17 games, and you've got Dobbs doing what he's doing, and you've got Wicks, who, again, reminded us of the kind of big playability he has, and you have Reed, who, by the way, led them in receiving yards and receptions last year. There's a pretty good reason to be excited.
And Reed was also, I picture Reed also with the reverses and, like, you know, part of the running game also.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I was asking about Watson. Like, should he be expendable? But it seems like you're saying he gives them a clear other element, you know, that no one else can do amongst that deep group.
I don't think there's any question he gives them a different element. The question is, can he stay healthy enough to give them that element on a regular basis? And I think that is a fair question to ask. And when you have other talent, I don't like the word expendable to describe him, but, you know, here's the thing. This season for Christian Watson is gigantic because it's his third season. He's dealt with these injuries. Is he a guy that you want to give a second contract to? I mean, Goody is, you know, basically said that lots of guys that are good players still aren't going to get second-year contracts. That's kind of been his implication with what he said about that. And so, you know, Tausch is suggesting that during the course of this season they should give Dobbs an extension and get him on the cheap because he's going to explode, right? But I don't know. Like, when you have this much talent and you see, I think you and I have talked about this on previous Sunday Karmas, that there seems to be a trend in the league of, hey, there's so many good wide receivers coming out of college that, yeah, you may really like some guys you have, but they are becoming not quite like running backs, but sort of like running backs, where you use them on the rookie contract. I mean, ask Brandon Ayuk about where he stands. You use them on the rookie contract, and then you don't really want to pay them. You just can replace them with some new guys that are cheaper.
So anything we take from Jordan Love's two passes, or just that he's good and it's all good?
Yeah, I mean, look, the fact that they only played three plays, I think Matt LaFleur has really emphasized what was important was for them to go through the process of getting ready for a game and knowing that you're playing. You know, they joked about wanting to get off the field in one fast series, and they reached that. I mean, LaFleur said he wanted to do it in one play. It ended up taking three. But, I'm still not sure if that gets you entirely ready. Now, they're talking about these two joint practices. They got one with the Broncos this week. They've got one with the Ravens next week. Beyond that, you know, LaFleur basically said the starters are not playing in Denver. Maybe a handful of starters, but most of them will not. And then he's going to reevaluate it before Baltimore. If three plays is enough for their offense to be ready for Brazil, I'm going to trust him that he's right, and then we'll see what happens in Sao Paulo. But this is someone who really believed that the struggles they had during the Rodgers era – early in seasons, right? Getting whipped by the Saints in Jacksonville, getting whipped by the Vikings in Minneapolis, was partly because of the not playing veterans or not playing starters in the preseason. And then the success they had in Chicago last year was because Love obviously had to play because it was his first year as a starter, and so did everybody else. So whether or not three plays is enough to be able to have that same effect in the opener, that I'm not convinced of, but, you know, we'll find out on September 6th.
And we'll talk about the defense and what we saw from the new Packers defense as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Yes, I did. So I packed it up and brought it back to the crib.
Jason Lilley is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
How about that stat? The U.S. women, first team sport to ever win 8 consecutive gold medals in the history of the Olympics.
The greatness of our women.
That's pretty impressive.
Extremely impressive.
Yeah. Let's go from impressive for a long time to an impressive debut, Jason, I assume you feel, for the Packers defense?
For sure. Now, again, the vanilla nature of preseason is part of it, but I think what you saw, if this was your first glimpse of them, was this aggressive nature. Now, there were times where maybe it went against them, right? There were a couple of big plays that the Browns were able to generate, but I thought there was a key sequence early when Devontae Wyatt had back-to-back quarterback pressures, one that resulted in a Lucas Van Ness sack, the other that forced them to throw the ball away on third down. And I thought that was really a good example of what that group up front is going to do, is get up the field. And Wyatt is a perfect example of that because he hasn't been very good his first years. There's been some glimpses, but when you draft a guy in the first round, you would have expected more from him than what they've gotten. And he himself said that this is a monster year, his word, to prove himself. And that he's in the exact right system that he believes he can do that. He felt like he was thinking too much. He said, I'm not a good player when I have to think, which I thought was really honest of him. He wants to be able to attack instead of having to react. And that's the kind of stuff you're seeing up front. But you see the excitement and the enthusiasm from that group up in the front all the way to the back. You saw Evan Williams, who is fighting for the other safety spot opposite Xavier McKinney, force a fumble yesterday. Some tackle a guy and have the guy land on his head. I thought that they are fast. They're aggressive. They're hitting harder than they did. They seem more decisive than they did under the Joe Barry system. And those are all encouraging signs when you remember the circumstances that they did it in and remind yourself there's a long way to go.
There's a long way to go. But, I mean, is Van Ness like, I mean, are people talking about him like, huge jump could be like a Pro Bowl type player? Or is he just like first round pick, solid starter? Like what's the view of what he could be?
I think they're really excited about the year two jump for him. And I think he's another guy that this system fits much better than the previous one did. I mean, I think he was a little fish out of water with standing up. They had used him at Iowa with his hand in the dirt and even used him inside as a defensive tackle at times. So having him play outside linebacker in a 3-4 was not his ideal scenario. The other thing is that because they're being so aggressive, I haven't written or talked much about this on the show, but one of the things that I think is really interesting is how they have basically come out and said, look, we're going to rotate guys a ton up front. So like yesterday you saw they started their first three defensive line or first four defensive linemen, and then they rotated Wyatt and Van Ness in on the next set of downs. Like they got a first down. I don't know if it was by penalty or whatever. But they sent those guys in, and then they were really productive. So they're going to kind of send those defensive linemen in waves, and that should allow everyone to play more. And, you know, kind of like a line change in hockey, you can go at maximum effort and then come out, get a breather, and then go back in a little bit later.
Chatting with Jason Wilde. And Jason, we're going to give you an opportunity to make a Palermo's pick, because I'm interested with this defense brought to us by Palermo's, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, Palermo's Urban Pie, Connie's Surfer Boy, which we did for the girls for a birthday party the other night, and Screamin' Sicilian. Find Palermo's in your grocer's freezer. Jason, when we sit here 20 weeks from now, who will we say was the best defensive player this season on the Green Bay Packers? Who is your Palermo's pick? And I want to get Kyle's also here. Best defensive player this season for the Green Bay Packers.
Whew, that's a tough question. Almost as difficult as the choice I had to make at the grocery store. Paul and the girls are gone on a vacation without me during training camp. And I got two Screaming Sicilian pizzas because they were buy one, get one free at Pick and Save. And I got the thin crust one, and then I got the regular one. And I've eaten one, and now I got the other one left.
You know what I think is a good
McKinney.
You know what I think is a good spot for you also with the girls gone is the just the toppings. Have you had that where it's like a bowl that you put in the microwave for like 3.5 minutes, and it's like 600 calories, and it's just like all the toppings without the bread, and it's like a good quickie if like the kids aren't around. I recommend that
really?
As well. Yeah,
I did not see that in my grocer's freezer. I'll have to look for it.
Yep.
I'm going to say Xavier McKinney. I think there's a lot of arguments to be made. I'm guessing Kyle has about 3 or 4 that he's going to try and choose from in his green and gold colored glasses. I think you could say Rashawn Gary. I think you could say Kenny Clark or Wyatt up front. I think you can talk about Quay Walker, who I think is going to fit this defense better than he did the last one. And I think Jair Alexander, who I believe had a death in the family, which is why he didn't play yesterday and was gone for a personal matter, I think he seems really rejuvenated. But I'm on the X train. I spent an extended amount of time one-on-one with him last week. And you forget he's 24. And Tausch is going to give me grief about this when he hears this clip, I'm sure. But he reminds me. He's younger. He's not as accomplished. I'm not saying he's going to become this player, but he gives me some Charles Woodson vibes.
Wow.
Like really confident, really knows his stuff, knows that guys are looking to him to try and follow his lead. Now, again, he's 24. He is nowhere near the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but I got that kind of in talking with him. He's got a little bit of that presence. And we'll see if he develops that further and develops his game. But I really like everything that he's about.
Wow. So first year player, a guy who I know, I mean, you kind of said at the time, it's rare that someone like that becomes a free agent, right? Like at that age mm-hmm. and that position and all that. So Kyle, who you got?
I love what Jason talked about with Xavier McKinney because he can help transform this defense. But based off everything we've heard, Jason, Rashawn Gary could be an absolute menace. I mean, if he can get pressure on the quarterback, that makes that defense that much better. So I think at the end of the year, we talk about how Rashawn Gary had a bounce back year and a big time bounce back year in this new 4-3 defense.
And the best player on the defense from Kyle. So, Jason, did you peep a little Hard Knocks yet? Chicago Bears edition?
I did, and it was nice to hear Jeff Joniak on the call for some of that stuff. But I don't know. Look, obviously our ESPN Chicago teammates are the radio home of the Bears, and I was really excited when they were picked. But the first episode was kind of a snoozer for me. Like, I love Hard Knocks. I mean, it is because I think that is what I crave because of my job and for how long I've done it. Like, I'm always trying to get the behind-the-scenes stuff, and when you get it, it's such a great thing that you get to share it with your listeners and readers and fans. But they have this unfettered access, put together an hour-long show every week during training camp, or now during the season, and now during the off-season they have versions of it. So that's the stuff that I'm just always dying to get, and I'm not ever going to get that kind of access that Hard Knocks got. Or gets, and I just was hoping for more from the first episode. So I'm going to give them a mulligan, and hope that we get more juice from the next the next succeeding episodes.
That's funny. That's a lot of the reaction I'm hearing is people are like, okay, I like it. I'm glad it's back. I also think the fact that they have the off-season ones now, there's not as much buildup because, like, you just saw the Giants one like 2 weeks ago. You know, it doesn't feel like, oh, Hard Knocks is back. We're like, we haven't seen it in a year. So I think it also, you have to raise the bar on it because it's just so much more available, right? Like everything is now. Jason, last quickie. Kyle was talking about missing a wedding for a game. Where do you stand on, do you miss the wedding for the game? Do you watch the game while you're at the wedding? Or do you just get the scores and the alerts? I mean, what is your recommendation? Because we know you are a dispassionate observer of sports now these days, but what is your mature recommendation for those of us?
So just to clarify, is Kyle missing the game because the wedding is going on during
he missed
game?
The wedding. He skipped the wedding to watch the game on TV.
Yesterday?
No, not yesterday. But this all started because I was watching the U.S. men's basketball game like while I was waiting for people to walk down the aisle. I did not watch it while they were walking down the aisle, but I was sitting in my seats. The music was playing of like songs that you think you know, but you're not sure, the remix version, the walking down the wedding aisle version of it. So I was watching the U.S. men's game on my phone. I did stop once they started walking. Now, I don't know if I stopped because the Wi-Fi cut out or because I was mature. I'm not going to go on record one way or the other there.
I have a pretty good guess. So my favorite dilemma that I ever faced was some friends of ours were getting married in Mexico, a destination wedding. The Packers were playing the Bills in Buffalo. I want to say this was 06, 07, somewhere in there. So Paula and I flew from Green Bay to Cancun, and then on the Saturday following the wedding, she flew home to Green Bay, and I flew to Buffalo so I could make it to that Sunday game. That's the closest I ever come in my career to missing a game for a wedding. But if it's not my job, as you pointed out, dispassionate observer, there is no game unless it's one of my children.
Yep.
That I am going to choose over a wedding of people I care about.
Oh, I chose Bama versus Wisconsin back in, I think, like 2014, 2015 over a wedding.
But the worst
I was young and immature.
But the worst part of it is he chose it the day before, so they had to pay for the meal. They had his food out. They had the whole thing. He didn't even tell them.
Yeah, he was very upset. But, Jason, I mean, the wedding was at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Beautiful, beautiful facility. I think they can afford $70.
I like how you feel like that makes it okay.
$70 to me is different than $70 to, you know, somebody who can have a wedding there.
Right, so you're saying if it was in, like, the church basement, then you'd feel bad?
You'd feel bad? Yeah, I understand.
Because, like, the ham sandwiches, like, you know, they'd have an extra one for you?
Yeah, I would feel bad. Like, I know they spent a lot of money. $70, they don't even miss it. They don't even miss the $70. It was more the principal they were mad at, not the money. I know they ain't mad about the money. They paid all that money for the venue.
That is the worst justification I've ever heard.
That made me feel good back in, like, 2015.
I do agree with Jason. I don't know if that's a trend. It seems to be. All right, thanks, Jason. Good stuff.
What do you mean at a trend?
That Jason and I agree on stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were taking a shot at me.
No. Never. No. Never, never.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
No.
All right. You can catch Jason.
Take care. Be good.
Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon, every single weekday, and at Jason J. Wilde on the social media. 7-Eleven. Oh,
it's me.
I know you've spent a week. I know you spent a week preparing a list that will not have inaccuracies, because we might as well skip to 7-Eleven if you're going to have a shaky list.
No.
That you're going to be like Googling
list
during the segment. Things are going to be off. We've seen shaky Kyle lists.
I should put it in my calendar. This week I thought about, we got a show this week. I got to make sure I'm good at 7-Eleven.
Shaky Kyle lists are a trend on this show. We'll see what happens. The 7-Eleven's next, Sunday Karma, because Kyle did go 7 out of 7 last week. ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.